grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Cookies. Who here likes cookies? Whether you are a kid or an adult, there isn't much in life that beats warm chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk. I'm already making you hungry, huh? There are plenty of ways to get cookies. Maybe you make your own. Maybe they're on your weekly shopping list. Or maybe you go for the really fancy ones. Right? Like within the last year or so, I started hearing about this cookie place called Crumble. Maybe you already know about it. When I first heard about it, I'll admit I sort of just dismissed it. I thought, okay, it's a gourmet cookie store. Isn't that nice? Right? I didn't really think much of it. Well, but then last Christmas or my last birthday or something, my parents gave me a box of four of their cookies. Now, if you've never had their cookies, it might sound weird to get only four in a box. But these are not like most cookies where you get like a gazillion in a box and you have to eat a few of them to be satisfied. No, these things are huge, right? You have to cut them into pieces. You can think of Crumble sort of like the graters of cookies. Just like how one scoop of graters is more than enough, one cookie from Crumble is more than enough. Well, I tried some from the box, and now I see what all the fuss is about. Right? They are good. Granted, they're like $4.50 a pop. They're pricey, but they're good. I like their chocolate chunk ones. The ones that have the icing on top are good. Right? I forget what all was in the box. And if you've tried them, I bet you have your favorites too. If you haven't tried them, I think you should. The closest one to us is in Huber Heights on Old Troy Pike near Hobby Lobby. Right? So good. Now, aside from making us all hungry for cookies right now, why am I telling you all this? Because I want us to think about the power of word of mouth. Right? Like at first, I hadn't even heard about Crumble. And then when I did, I just kind of dismissed it. But then my parents, who I trust, had a good experience with them, told me about them, gave me a box. I tried it, I liked it, and now I'm telling you. Right? That's how word of mouth works, right? Despite being a nationwide chain, I have never seen a TV commercial for Crumble. All I know is that they have really good cookies. And it seems like people hear about them by word of mouth. This is what happens with Jesus, too. People hear about him by word of mouth from others who've had good experiences. Right, I mean, we're Christians. We follow him. We come together to worship him, which is great. But somebody had to tell you about Jesus in the first place. And I know I've talked before about how all of us have had mentors in the faith, and now we can help other people grow in faith too. But I want us to think about it in a slightly different way today because of today's gospel reading. Here we have a reading that's actually three stories in one. We have the call story of Matthew, the story of a father asking Jesus to raise his dead girl back to life, and a story of a bleeding woman who was healed. So there's a lot going on in this text. And at first, it sounds really weird to get three stories in one gospel read. Right? I mean, what do all these three stories have in common here? Well, I think one thing they have in common is that all three of these people, Matthew, the father of the dead girl, and the bleeding woman, they all heard about Jesus from somebody, and now they're having good experiences with him too. All right, think about it. When Jesus calls Matthew to follow, Matthew just drops everything, leaves his job, and sets out to follow Jesus. You wouldn't do that for somebody you've never heard about before. The leader of the synagogue, who's the father of the dead girl, kneels before Jesus and begs him that he would bring her back to life. You wouldn't do that if you've never heard of Jesus or what he can do. And the woman who is bleeding thinks that all she needs to do is reach out and touch Jesus' garment and she'll be healed. She wouldn't think that if she hadn't heard about the power of Jesus before. So all three of these people had somehow heard about Jesus from some trusted source, and now they've had good experiences with him for themselves. Right? They didn't just dismiss him. They didn't think their version of, oh, it's a gourmet cookie store, isn't that nice? No, they trusted that Jesus was for them too. Now, I'm not trying to say that Jesus is a product to be sold like cookies. Right? That is not the point of this text, the point of this sermon, or the point of the church. Right? The church does not exist to sell Jesus like a product. No, our purpose is simply to tell people the good news of Jesus. Whether they trust him and follow him is up to the Holy Spirit. Right? We have no control over that. All we do is plant the seed and nurture it. And whether it takes root and grows and produces fruit, that's beyond our power. Even so, the seed clearly took root in these three people. And they all come from different walks of life. Do you notice that? Matthew was a tax collector, which was a despised profession. He was a Jew who was working for Rome, who was taking money from his own people. So the Jews didn't like him because he sold out to Rome, and Rome didn't like him because he was still Jewish. So basically, he was an outsider who really didn't belong anywhere. But then Jesus came and said, "Follow me." Jesus accepted Matthew. Jesus saw him as important. And Jesus trusted him as one to share his good news. Then there's the leader of the synagogue. Right? He's a man with power and influence. He had respect in the community. He was at the top of the social ladder. But he was also a dad. And his daughter had just died. And just like today, no matter what status someone has at work, if something happens to their kid, then the work just doesn't seem that important anymore. The leader knelt before Jesus, recognizing that Jesus had a whole lot more power than he did. And he asked Jesus to just lay his hand on his daughter, so that she would live again. So this synagogue leader might be powerful in the community, but even he doesn't have the power to overcome death. That power resides only with Jesus. And then there's the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. Right? This is a chronic health condition. This is something she's lived with for a good part of her life. And this is something that would have made her ritually unclean. Right? Nobody would have wanted to be near her for fear of becoming unclean themselves. Yet she dared to reach out to Jesus in the crowd, thinking that even a touch of his cloak could heal her. So all three of these people, an outcast, a desperate father, and a chronically sick woman, all three of them had encounters with Jesus. And all of them had their lives changed because of it. And that's great. It reminds us that Jesus is for anyone, no matter where they are in life. And we might nod our heads and agree with that, but secretly we might be thinking, well, good for them. It's too bad Jesus doesn't work like that today. Right? I mean, honestly, we follow Jesus. Lots of different people from lots of walks of life follow Jesus. But many of us can't just abandon our jobs and responsibilities like Matthew did. We can't get Jesus to just lay his hand on our kids and bring them back to life. We can't reach out and just touch Jesus' clothes to get rid of a chronic health condition. So we might hear these stories and think, so what? But notice something. Responding so what to these stories is like thinking, oh, it's a gourmet cookie store. Isn't that nice? It's dismissing this good news that somebody else has shared with us. And I know, yes, there are some people out there who do dismiss these stories about Jesus. There are some people who think Jesus doesn't really do any good in the world today. But there are some people who still have their lives changed because of it. Why is that? It's because of faith. It's because of trust. Hearing these stories from the Bible is not just about hearing what Jesus did way back when. Instead, these are reminders for us today of what Jesus is still doing now. Right? These people, Matthew, the desperate father, the unnamed woman, they all heard about Jesus from somebody. And then they all had a life-changing experience with him because of it. And now this gospel writer is telling us their stories so that we can have a life-changing encounter with Jesus too. I didn't know how good crumble cookies were until my parents told them about me and gave me some to experience. This gospel writer is telling us about Jesus and giving us these stories so that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. So think about it this way. Maybe you feel like Matthew. Maybe you feel like an outsider. Somebody who's shunned and ignored by everybody around you. Maybe you don't feel like you have a place to belong. If so, then Jesus still welcomes you. Jesus calls you. And Jesus sends you into the world to make a difference. You matter in life. Or maybe you feel like that desperate father. You are facing some overwhelming problem right now that makes everything else in life not seem to matter. If so, then Jesus is still there with you. And he will bring about new life. Maybe you feel like the woman with a chronic health condition. Maybe you feel like all hope is lost and you are barely hanging on by a thread. If so, then don't be surprised if you notice that the thread is on the hem of his garment. Someone told these people about Jesus, and their lives were changed when they encountered him. Now the gospel writer tells us about Jesus in their lives, and our lives are changed because of him too. Like, that's how these things work, right? It's all by word of mouth. Jesus is for you and with you and loves you absolutely free, no matter what. And that is one of the few things in life that's more comforting than warm cookies and milk. So in the name of this one who continues to work in our lives today, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.